crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Say praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God this morning, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. Trust all of you come to worship and to praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise, isn't he? Amen. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. Why don't you just take a second? A little bit crowded, but you won't have to move us around as much. Shake somebody's hand. Give them a nice warm smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God. Play it, guys.
Holy, 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 holy
the Lord. Oh, He's worthy, isn't He? Isn't He the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Aren't you glad He chose you? You know, you look at yourself, or I look at myself, who in the world are we that He would choose us? Who are we? Well, we must be pretty special to Him. Now, out in the world, people rub shoulders with you. You don't mean one thing to them. You don't mean nothing to them. I'm talking about total strangers that you pass. You don't mean nothing to them. But if they only knew who you were. And let me say this. If we only knew who we were. We're pretty good folks. We're some special people. Not in ourselves, but He has made us that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll fall down. We'll lay our crowns. I want you to sing it like you believe it. Amen. God bless you. We don't have that many requests. If you just remain standing with me, Brother Robert, if you get ready to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Glad to have Brother Robert and his family with us here in the service today. All of our visitors, God bless you. We're just glad to have you here. Sister Jennifer Harris says her friend is a 36-year-old mother. She has been diagnosed with lymphoma. She has to go tomorrow for a PET scan. Please pray that the cancer has not spread. So we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to be merciful to that situation. Brother Carter Lawson says needs prayer for his daughter-in-law. She was stung by bees 20 to 30 times and has a virus. So we want to pray for that need this morning. Brother Jose Manley says his niece will be having back surgery on Monday. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Rachel Estep. Her legs are swollen. She was unable to be in the service this morning. Let's remember her. Brother Baker wants to thank the Lord for being able to be back in the service. Thank you for your prayers during my sickness. I love my church family. Well, we love Brother Baker too, don't we? Sister Janet Payne says thank the church for praying for my cousin. She was taken off life support. So she's doing better. Still remember her for multiple surgeries. So just commit her to the Lord and God's able to bring her through that. Sister Boone wants to thank all of you for your prayers, cards, the real nice fruit basket. I am doing well and I'm glad to be back in church. Well, let's just stop right there and give her a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. And she's a little gray-haired woman that limps in here and limps out, but she's one of my favorite people in this whole world. I love Sister Boone. She's a real pillar in our church. Amen. Says, God is so good to us. I have several unspoken requests. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I have an announcement here we'll make just in a minute. We want to go ahead and do these prayer requests. Brenda Harmon, not feeling well, and remember her in prayer today. Please pray for Lillian Vega, has a bad cold, is in much pain, so let's pray for her. Please remember me in prayer as I am facing a difficult situation next week. Pray God gives me the right words to say, so we just commit that to the Lord. And I believe that's all of our written requests, all the unspoken prayer requests. If you have a need this morning you'd like for this group to pray about, do you believe God's able? Yes. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise Brother Lord. Robert, God bless you as you come to lead us to the Lord. Give Brother Robert a nice hand this morning.
You could just give me 2 minutes of your time. Lord bless you, all saints. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. There's an emergency that came early this morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. I had a call from my sister. her husband, which is the tabernacle translator to Latin America. We have translated up in the pulpit. Most of you that has streamed the services in my church. And, he couldn't get out of bed this morning at all. He's doing very, very bad. And she called me hysterical crying early in the morning. But we know that God is a healer. And just like one of my trustees said this morning, said, Brother Robert, it's just the devil. If he could knock down that translator, that means that many parts of the country will not be able to hear the sermon this morning. So there's a brother that one time did the translation for one day, and he was all nervous. When they got to the house of the Lord, they spoke to the trustees and all the brothers there. He said, Brother, I am willing to stand on that pulpit just for the bride. Amazing. Praise the Lord. So he's going to need the prayer, and he is definitely going to need probably emergency operation. His hip collapsed. So he's been doing the translation in our church for the last at least 20 years in the pulpit towards Latin America. And that's how many of the saints get fed. And this morning, we didn't want the devil to stop that. But thank God that there's courageous man and there's a courageous congregation that say, I'm willing to stand, I'm willing to fight the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just please remind him in your prayers also. We're going to bring him in prayer also with this request. Also, there's 2-3 brothers, I don't know who they are, they were asking me for my information due to the fact that after the service, I was supposed to go on to other services, but I cut that completely short. I immediately has to leave as soon as the service is done. I have to leave towards New York. So we're going to drive straight. Probably we're going to get there about 10, 11 o'clock tonight. Just keep us in your prayer. And also, the people that asked me for the information due to the fact I will not see them, you could go to www.nybeliever.com or Happy Valley has a link to my website because I won't be able to speak to you after the service. The Lord bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, Lord, this morning that you are so gracious. Father, it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. We know that you are a healing God. We know, Father, that you die for us that we may live. Father, you die for us that we may be well and healed, Father. Lord God, we know the time that we're living in, Father, like Brother Donnie was speaking last night, Lord. Father God, just the devil's trying to make his last game, Father, just to bring down your bride. If he knows if the people, this message get to the people's heart, it will produce a body change. Father God, help your bride worldwide. May you bless your bride here, Lord God. May you heal the sick. Many of the requests that was put here last night and today, Father, and the many needs of your saints, God. We know, God, that you're going to go forth, Father, and you're going to supply for your bride. You know how to take care of your children, Father God, because there's no one that loves like you. There's no one that understands the bride like you do, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit, Father, just go forth in each life, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for all these requests, Lord. Amen. Lord bless you, saint, till we meet.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. You're visiting with us this morning. As I said a while ago, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming this service today, I pray it'll be a blessing to them. Now, this is from Brother Michael Bailey. Let me just add this to all of you that participated in the Fall Festival, all of you that came to the Fall Festival. Trust you had a great time. All the workers, thank you so much. Brother Michael especially wants to recognize Brother Jim Goad this morning. So glad he's here from over in Colorado to be with us for this Fall Festival. All the equipment that was used in our Fall Festival, Brother Jim loaned that to us. And we appreciate that, don't we? Buddy, God bless you. Thank you. Can't operate without equipment, and we needed you, and you was there for us. Thank you so much. Let's sing a song this morning. We've got more specials than we could work in from now till 2 o'clock, but we're going to do the best we can. See those clouds? They're the ones he's coming back in. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning.
If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing,
on that Malachi,
when the dead in Christ shall rise, then make your preparation, secure your soul's salvation, and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. See those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the saints in.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to try to get 3 songs in about 10 minutes. I think we can do that. Brother Fred, come on real quickly. Brother Justin, if you'll come onto the platform. Sister Lindsay Gilreth, are you here this morning? Where are you at? Is she here in the building? Right over here. Come onto the platform. Be getting ready to sing. Let's give our singers a nice hand this morning.
I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrims, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, I worked so hard for Jesus, I used to boast and say. You know, I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. These are the words I heard him say to me. I left the throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon my mission field someday, glory, it would be no more than love demands. Praise God, no less could I repay. No greater love hath a mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words I heard him say to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, praise the Lord, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. But Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Angels were watching. I can feel them. Angels were watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. But Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe your angels are watching over me. And I've walked the barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone. And I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. But Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me.
Outside, I hear them talking. Could it be it's me they're mocking? An eye for an eye is all that matters anymore. me in this prison, and I deserve what I've been given. A life for a life, that's the one I'm dying for. I caught the eye of a man who was beaten. I saw the truth, even I believed him. Now I can tell from myself who there wanted more. I hear them cry, release Barabbas. In disbelief, I turn. At me, and he said, go free, you're the one I'm dying for the one who is hurting, and the one who has done wrong, for the one who needs healing, and feels like hope is gone, for the weary who can't carry his cross.
Grateful he was willing to do that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, speaking of Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's read it again. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's bow our heads together and we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord in prayer. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we're so indebted to you today that you would love us so much. We know your condescension did not begin actually at Calvary. It actually did not even begin when the Lord Jesus was born a baby. But it began way back before time. You started to condescend that we might begin to know you. This plan that you formed is older than the world. It is older than the universe. And it gives us such confidence and trust in you to know you will accomplish what you've set out to achieve. So there's nothing or no one that will stop you from doing what you desire to do. I pray that you'd help us today, Father, that we can be able to play our part and submit what we are into the great program of God. Once again, we've gathered here that we might be able to worship and sing and pray and hear your word. May we sit now at the table of the King while you unveil yourself before us today. May there be an apocalypse of the Lord God in our midst, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Happy to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you again today on seeing Him who is invisible. We'd like to go back to our setting of last night in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 21. Moses has asked to see God that he might know Him in a better way. He asked to see God's way. He asked to see God's glory, God's character. He wants to know His name. To him, to know God's character was to know His name, and vice versa. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 21, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my kibbod, my glory, which is honor, dignity, reputation, and reverence." Now this is not the Shekinah. This is not the brilliant light that proceeds before the presence of God. This is another attribute of God's great being. "You will see my glory while my glory passeth by. Then I will put thee in the cleft or the crevice of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by." Now this is the divine order of God. This is the condescension of God in order to answer the request of His servant that he might be able to know Him in a greater way. "And I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Now this is God telling Moses the order of what is going to happen. "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your glory. I want to know your way. I want to know you in a greater way than I've ever known you before." And God condescends in a way to be able to make himself known to his servant in a greater way. Now why is God doing this? What is it even having relevance to God or even to Moses? Well, there's something about God making himself known to his people in a way that will empower them, give them a greater ability to be able to serve him. What good does it do us to know the Bible, to know Greek and Hebrew, and to know theoretically the mysteries of this day if it doesn't do something for us in our lives to make us better people? If all it does is just does something up here, are we any better off, really? If it only makes us, capable of saying bigger words and all that sort of thing, is that all the Bible is for? Is that all the message is for? Is that all the preaching is about, is to come and... No, friends, it's not. It's to do something in our lives to make us a better people. So God will make himself known to empower us. That will give us the ability to live a better life. Moses is faced with a great challenge. And he said, "God, you've not told me who's going to go with me. How will I be able to do this? How can I be able to meet the challenge that is laying before me?" So he said, "I want to know you." Why? That would empower him to make him a better servant. And I believe it will us. If we can be able to identify him and know who and what he is, I believe it will do something for us in our lives as well. Now God chooses the way which he will condescend to be able to make himself known to Moses so it will grant the request or the petition that he has. Now watch in Exodus 34 verse 5, we'll see the fulfillment of what God said. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." I cannot imagine how he must have felt.
The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Now look at what God does. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now the Lord had graciously up to this time had hovered over the tabernacle. They've seen him hover over Sinai several times. This is actually the 8th ascension of Moses into the Mount of God. This is his 8th time to go up and then come down, up and then come down. So God has graciously hovered over the tabernacle, but now God wants to hover near his servant. Now remember, this is the second time by which the glory of God is going to appear in relevance to the revealing of the law. So God, now as he comes upon the mountain, and then God makes a slight descent down to a lower place where Moses is. Now, all this is for a reason. Moses is asking that he might know the Lord in a greater way. But there is a people which is now down at the foot of the mountain. They are watching some things that are going on. God wants to vindicate his servant in a greater way. And remember, he's chosen many times to do it in a cloud. I said he's chosen to do it many times in a cloud. So God chose to descend on the mount in the form of a cloud. So God descends upon the mount, and then God makes a slighter descent. Now watch it as he's condensing. His ascension to come down and descending upon Moses is a further identification that the people can look at this man and say, there ain't never been a man quite like this man before. Now, what God did was God descended, and it was going to be, of course, in a body form, and what we know now was a theophany. But God descended, so the theophany of God, which was Christ, got into this cloud, which was not a rain cloud or a thunderhead, but it was a cloud of glory. It was not so much water droplets and molecules of atmosphere and all that, but it was a created cloud that would hide divinity. So the theophany of God steps into this cloud, and he begins to come down upon the mount. Now, whenever he does, he makes a further descent. It must have been something noticeable, so the people would be able to identify that God particularly wanted to identify himself with his prophet. So he makes a slight descent further down upon the mount. And then the Bible says that he stood with him. And the word there, stood with him there, is literally, he took his stand with him there. Now remember, God don't do things without a reason, without a relevance. So God is doing it to identify his prophet. So God comes down and God stands with him. I don't know about you, I got better sense on to attack that man. I realize there's a bunch of spiritual dummies in this day that ain't got much sense, and they attack God and his bride and his prophet, but I'm glad I got enough sense to keep my long tongue off of such. Now, he stands with him there. Now, what God is fixing to do is to reveal his name. This is what Moses says. So he comes down and he proclaims the name of the Lord. And the word proclaimed is actually the Hebrew kara, which means to call out. So God is now condensing, and he's coming down, and God is vocally calling out his name. So the word means to call out, to address by name, to introduce or announce one's self. Publish, pronounce, make a proclamation. So the Lord come down, and he stood by Moses, and the Lord begins to proclaim the name of the Lord. The Lord begins to proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, you're doing good. You're sitting real quiet and listening. You have no idea where I'm going, do you? Now, watch this in verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him. Now, notice the condescension of God. All of this lays in the mystery of Christ. Because Brother Ram said he wanted to take that text and base it out of the entire Bible. So all the acts in the Bible, all the history, all those sort of things is a reflection of Christ. So if God is condensing upon the mountain, it is through Christ that he is condensing. So the Lord passed by before him. or caused his Shekinah to come back. Now this is different now from the dignity and the honor, which is the glory, but now it is the Shekinah. In the Shekinah comes that which is visible. Dignity can pass by and you would not know it unless you would be in tune. Reverence could pass by and you wouldn't know it. But when Shekinah would pass by, it is that glory of God which comes into the realm, which is visible, that human beings have the ability to see it. Now you imagine as Moses begins to feel this awe and this reverence and this dignity of the mighty God as he comes by, and he senses it and he feels it. Of course, it is the theophany of God now visible, and he's coming by in a tangible form. And then after that comes through, then Moses sees a visible manifestation, and maybe it was a brilliance of a yellowish green light, and it was something that began to pass before him. And the Lord passed by before him. Now this is actually going to be the second revelation of the name of God which has been revealed to Moses. He appears to him first and makes himself known, I am that I am. And then he's going to make himself known as Yahweh, which is the self-existing one, the one which has come to deliver my people. Now watch what God does. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Notice, and proclaim. Now this is what God is saying. So the Lord comes by and the Lord begins to say this. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord passes by, the divine order of God comes through, the splendor, the majesty, the great prevalence of his being, the essence of his divine nature. And then he begins to hear it and he proclaims it, because the Hebrew word is here, is a voice that is said very loud and boisterous. So the Lord begins to say, the Lord God. Moses is asked to see his way, his character, and God reveals his way by revealing his name. So you imagine you're standing there as Moses was, and the hair is standing up on your arms. Lord of mercy, stand up on mine right now just talking about it. You're standing there and this awesome presence has come near you and you can feel it. And it's like it's building with such anticipation. And then the Shekinah light precedes it. And God passes by and God begins to say, the Lord God. And then he begins to talk about himself. the Lord God. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. So you're thinking, what has that got to do with God? Absolutely everything. So God is going to reveal to himself a further revelation to Moses. And the Lord begins to say, the Lord God. And he begins to unveil the characteristics of his nature. Now remember, this is the revelation of the divine nature of God, which cannot change. Now listen to this carefully. This cannot change even though we would move from the Old Testament and move to the New. This is God. The cross never changed this about him. This is God. Now remember, in God's nature, in God's divine nature, must not just be revealed in the form of mercy. A God who is a God of mercy only is an unjust God. Because what he will do, he will forgive those that don't even want or ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive those who don't even petition or repent for forgiveness. So what he will do is, when you do something wrong, you don't have to repent. He'll just forgive you automatically. The sinners who do things wrong, born in sin, come to the world with a fallen nature, they don't have to repent. They don't have to do anything different. God will automatically forgive them, if that's the way God is. Now listen carefully, because this is the way that many people are projecting him in the age that we live in. Basically, everybody's going to go to heaven, whether you're a Hindu, a Muslim, or Christian, or non-Christian, they're all going. Why? God loves us all, and God's going to save us all. That's a lie from the pits of hell. There is one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, and you come, friend, not because God made you come, but because you responded to a divine call. Praise the Lord. Now notice how God reveals this about his character. This is divine nature and revelation of his name. Now remember, this has not changed. So a God who is preached by this modern day bunch of preachers that he's nothing but mercy and forgiveness and love, and if they don't preach justice, they're not talking about my daddy. They're not talking about the God of this Bible. Now this ain't a preacher describing God. This is not a theologian describing God. This is not a prophet describing God. This is God describing God. So God ought to know how God is. Now this attribute of justice is absolutely essential in order for it to truly be divine nature. For without it, as I said, we project God in a very warped image of what he truly is. Now this is what God himself declares about himself. Now it might seem peculiar that God would say, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. But when you look at the meaning of this word, it is that God will not clear the guilty unless they repent. Now, God will not clear the guilty just because he's a God of mercy, which is where many are taking the attribute of mercy and driving it in the ground. And they're turning grace into disgrace. God will not clear the guilty just because he is a merciful God. Hold on to your seat. God will not clear you as bride just because you're a bride. He will not clear you just because you are elect. He will clear you when you ask him to forgive you of what is done wrong. Come on, this is his nature. So we cannot sin and get by and do whatever we want to do and live any way we want to live. Well, I'm bride. I can do it. You cannot do it. You will pay the utmost farthing, Jesus said. Now what's in the attributes of God? God unfolded the beginning of this revelation saying, the Lord God, the Lord God. Now in this is compounded the divine nature of God. Of course, it's not all totally revealed in this, but so many attributes are revealed in this. And these different names, I'd like for you to look at them with me. The different names in this verse and the following verse are the attributes of divine nature. And the commentators divide them into 11 different names that are compounded in what I just read to you. And if you'll notice here, whenever we read this, you'll have the Hebrew on the left. You'll have a number 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that. Then you'll have the Hebrew and then you'll have the English. Now this is what God is saying to Moses. This is the invisible God manifesting himself in a visible theophany. The theophany is proceeding forth so Moses can see something. But in this revelation is the nature of God revealed in his name. He said, what in the world has that got to do with us? Absolutely everything. For the word of God interpreted, the prophet tells us, is the manifestation of the name of God. Millions times millions of people around the world say the name of Jesus and live like devils. They say they're part of the church, they're part of the bride. It is evident they have never had an appearing of the name of God. They only know the name of the attribute of Savior, but they do not know him as Lord, as lover, as King, as Redeemer, as the Potentate, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. Come on, children. They pick what attributes they want of God, and the others, of course, they just don't don't believe it. But in order to be the bride, you've got to be the Word. And you cannot be like a smorgasbord. Well, I want this and I don't want that. If you're the bride, you are the Word. And as a matter of fact, there ain't none of it you dislike. If you're the bride, you love every word that goes from the mouth of God. Now what? So God says the Lord God. Look at this. The first one is Jehovah. Jehovah. And then the second one, look at the Hebrew there. It is El, E-L, which means the strong or mighty God. Now, in what I just read to you, the Lord God, is gracious and He's kind and He's forgiving. Now, that's the English rendition, of course, of the way that we would read the Hebrew. But when you look at the Hebrew, this is what was said in the Hebrew. Now, the third name or title that was given to Him is Rahum, which is the merciful being. Who is full of tenderness and compassion. Now when the Lord comes down, he takes these words and He begins to say, the Lord God, gracious, merciful, forgiving, on and on and on. But God is actually revealing attribute, after attribute, after attribute, which is name, after name, after name, after name of the divine nature. Rakum, the merciful being who is full of tenderness and compassion. And the next one, Shanun, the gracious one, whose nature is goodness itself. The loving God. Oh, hallelujah. Erech and Mayhem, long suffering, the being. Hallelujah. The being. Who because of His goodness and tenderness is not easily irritated, but suffers long and is kind. It ain't no wonder that Moses had such a move. My, after coming off of here, he saw an opening of the book. And the book was in form of theophany. And the book revealed the divine nature of God. It had never been revealed quite this way until this appearance of the mighty God to Moses. Look at the next one, Rab, which is the great or mighty one. The next one, Chesed, the bountiful being, he who is exuberant. Oh my. He who is exuberant. You mean all of this was in them one little verse there? Yeah, that and a whole lot more. Oh, hallelujah. Exuberant. So blessed. So powerful. He is. Look at the next one. Emes. The truth or true one. He alone who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Who is the fountain of truth and from whom all wisdom and knowledge must be derived. Not so, Chesed, the preserver of bountifulness. Oh, you imagine, He's not only bountiful, but He is the preserver of all the bounty that is good and righteous. Now here the Lord answers Moses' prayer. And Moses must have been bewildered. He must have been wondering, Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself? Maybe he thought it would be the similitude of a human being. Maybe it would be this or that. But all of a sudden God comes down and God goes to expounding who He is. And giving His character. And giving His name. You come your service after service. And you say, Lord God, I want to see you. Lord God, visit in our midst. The Lord God reveals His character. He reveals His attributes. Do you get up and walk out and say, I wish I could have seen God? Or do you get up and walk out and say, I saw God. I saw another aspect of God that I never realized who He was. Lord Jesus. Look at this number 10. I'm going to attempt to try to pronounce it. Nosea von Vehesha Vekatah. He who bears away iniquity and transgression in sin properly, the Redeemer, the Pardoner, the Forgiver, the being whose prerogative alone is to forgive sin and save the soul.
Don't you understand? The plan of redemption is being unfolded right there.
Lord Jesus. Pokedevon, he who visits iniquity, who punishes transgressors, from whose justice no sinner can escape. Oh, I don't want to know him that way. No, sir. I'm glad I've already met this attribute. I was a sinner. I was lost. Amen. God could not just look at me and act like my sins was not there. This great attribute, Pokedevon, must be met. And the justice of God was met in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you understand, friends, why we still need that perpetuation today? It's not some folks have got this in their mind. They can do whatever they want to do, live however they want to live, and God don't charge sin to them. Boy, I tell you one thing, you're going to wind up in the pit of hell if you're not careful. If you maintain that attitude, the only way God's justice was met was in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we're sitting here today, saved by the grace of God, it's not because we come to this church. It's not because we believe God sent a prophet, but because God's justice was met in the Lord Jesus Christ. These 11 attributes are wound up in the very person of God. Notice the effect now that it has on Moses. Exodus chapter 34, verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. It ought to have that effect on us. Oh my. What does it produce? Humility. If your revelations give you pride, more than likely they're not from God. If your knowledge, what you think you know, and I've noticed a lot of folks around the words, you know, the more they hear this deep thing and that deep thing, that deep thing, it don't make them bow their head. It makes them cock their head higher and higher and higher. Man alive, if it was to rain, it'd drown them. The water falling down that big nose of theirs, because they get more pride, more arrogance. Nobody knows what I know. I'll tell you one thing. If people's going in the rapture, they got to get my tapes. Hogwash! Nonsense! Lies of the devil! Brother, revelations of God ought to do to us the same thing it done to Moses. He bowed his head and worshiped. It should not make us arrogant. It should not make us proud. It should not make us to where we despise those that don't see what we see. It ought to make us pray for them. It ought to make us want to reach out to others. Now let's move from this visitation of God. Let's move over several hundred years to three men that are thrown into a furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you all know them. God has stood in His Word and identified the message of that day. Their prophet isn't there, but they take their stand without the prophet being there, because they believe what he had to say. Now, whenever they do, everybody else around them is going to bow right down to the image, except for these three guys. These are my brothers. And once they take that stand, and of course the king gets angry, you know the story, I'm going to hurry because we've got so much to look at, but you remember that when they throw them in, that the Spirit of God did a supernatural intervention. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He answered and said, now this is the great heathen king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now notice, he does not see a pillar of fire in a fire. Because a pillar of fire wouldn't stick out in a fire. It would merge into the fire. So what form did Christ, the Logos of God, choose to take in order to come down among his brothers there and be identified with them? Now remember, God stood by Moses on the mountain and revealed his glory. Now that same God in the form of Christ is standing by his three sons. Amen. And what form? A human looking form. Not a pillar of fire, not a cloud, but he comes and manifests himself in a human looking form till a heathen king could be anointed momentarily by the Spirit of God and pronounce these words for the first time. They had been said by a heathen and call him the Son of God. Now watch, let's go back to Christ in mystery, paragraph 107. He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. He says, the entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. One goal that God had. One purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. Can you imagine how blessed you are today if you understand that one goal? If you understand that one goal, you have the key to the entire Bible. So you take that one goal, which is the master key of the entire scripture. You take that one goal, that one motive, that one objective of God, and you slide it into this Bible, and it opens up the entire book. So the types, the shadows, the furniture, the sacrifices, all that, it opens up to the believer who has that key. Because he understands the entire motive. The Song of Solomon, the Psalms, oh my, Rahab, all the different things in there. To them it opens up the one goal of the entire Bible. You follow me? Now watch, he says he wanted to achieve all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type, expressing what God's great goal is. And now in this last day, he has revealed it and shows it. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. If you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, then quit reading it. Read something else. Read a Golf Digest or How to Cook a Better Apple Pie. If you don't see it, don't give up. Go back and reread it. Oh my, he said go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then read it again, because you've missed something. I'm going to stand here today and tell you, as a preacher who's been preaching for 40 years, I've had to reread it and reread it and reread it, because a lot of verses I've read, I didn't see Christ. You might as well be honest, you have too. But you know what? It's not that he's not there, it's just that I can't see him. So when I can't see him, I say, God, help me to see it. You understand? Help me to see it. Now he said, the Bible says, watch this, in the beginning God created, there is Christ. And from that to the amen in Revelation, everything testifying of Jesus Christ. Again, paragraph 129. He is the principal theme of the Bible. He was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a historical book. It's a book of love. It's a book of songs. It's a book of life. And in there you find Christ, and he was in the prophets. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He's also in the Bible, is the things that is to come. So he was above before, now notice this, he was the things in the past, the things that's going on then in 1965, and he is the things that's going on that is to come in our day. Now watch. So he was before until after. What does that make him then? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, he says, he was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. He is the things that is to come. He should be the principal theme of our talking. Now, the question is he? If you starting tomorrow would keep a record of what you say, and do it for a week. And if that would be your normal week, and at the end of the week, I wonder how many of you would be so surprised how little you talk about the Lord and His work and His plan. And yet we say we're getting ready to leave this world and go into the other world. Well, I figured you'd get quiet on me. Should I go back to the rock? Should I go back to the glory? Well, believe me or not, I'm in the rock and in the glory. Now watch, he says he should be the principal theme then of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walk. Amen. He should be the principal theme of our life. If he is the principal theme of the Bible and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal thing of everything we do. Say or think should be Christ. Is that right? Amen. Now, God revealed Christ in a progressive revelation. Down to the Old Testament and also in the New. Now watch when he comes on the earth. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now I want you to notice that in this canon of scripture, his name was not going to be called Lord Jesus Christ. The angel could not tell Mary, call his name Lord Jesus. Or call his name Jesus Christos. Totally impossible. Why? Because he wasn't Jesus Christos when he was born. So the name by which he is called, she must take that name only and identify, because that identifies who he is, which is what? Jehovah Savior. So you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people. His people from their sins. Now notice in Matthew 16, 15. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now here comes Peter's famous reply that we're all familiar with. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Not the Lord. But the Christ. Now what has happened after the birth, from the birth until this time frame? Something had to happen in order for God to reveal to Peter that he was the Christ, which is the anointed one. You follow me? Now, we don't follow in the footsteps of Jesus and watch the progression or the progression of revelation in his own life. We'll miss the progression in the church and we'll miss the progression in our own life. He was not born Jesus Christ the Lord. He was born Jesus. Then he became Christ. Then years later, he became the Lord. You're born a little bitty, tiny, squalling, spiritual babe in Christ. Right? But that don't mean you're the Christos as soon as you're born. It may become years before you become Christ. Hang on, everybody. And eventually, you're going to become Lord. Woo! King of kings and Lord of lords. What is a Lord? One who has a dominion. I am already a son of God. I'm already a Christos, but I'm not yet a Lord. I do not have a dominion, a natural dominion around me, but one day I will be like my Lord Jesus, my brother. Well, I know that chokes you, but it's the truth. Now what? So Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now watch in verse 20. Then he charged he, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now what? How is his name now changed? By experience. What changed his name? Experience. What changed the understanding of Moses when God revealed this other part? The word. Experience. So Moses could walk off the mountain and say things about God that Abraham nor Isaac nor Jacob could say. Why? Experience brought the revelation of the name of God. Don't you understand? We can say things about God Luther couldn't say. We can say things about God that Wesley couldn't say. What brought it to us? Experience of the word. Now you Jesus only is all y'all can leave if you want to, because this might get a little bit tight here in the next few minutes. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Watch how God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Why didn't they call him Jesus of eternity? Praise the Lord. Hang on now. Because it wasn't Jesus of eternity. Jesus was the human body that had a beginning. And Jesus, the human body, must die. And Jesus, the human body, must be raised up. No more than God could call this eternity. It ain't. But one day it will be. So what was it? Jesus of Nazareth, not Donnie from Johnson City and Randy from Georgia and you from wherever you're from. But you talk about the real me. Don't identify me as a Kentuckian because my soul didn't come from Kentucky. It come from God. Your soul didn't come from Tennessee. It come from God. But Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus. Now this is the way he become Christ. Because God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus. Then Jesus became Jesus Christos. What was it? His name bore the image of what God had done to him. Don't you understand why we're no longer called church? Don't you understand why we're not identified in them denomination? We bear the name of bride. It carries and reflects what he's done in our lives. We are a separate people. So God anointed Jesus. Standing down in the river. Jesus got the Holy Ghost. All Jesus onlys are now dismissed. Of course, we're all going to know you're Jesus only if you get up and walk out now, though. Now, watch, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my Lord, you mean Jesus wasn't the Holy Ghost? Sure wasn't. Well, how many gods you got? One. How many lords you got? One. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You mean he didn't have it already? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God was with him. How nice. God was with him. Brother Bram says, when he was on earth, he was a perfect example of everything of the Godhead. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ was God. The body of Jesus was only the tabernacle of God. As I've said before, one of these days you're going to realize there ain't that much difference between you and him. As far as spiritual paternity, you come from the mind of God to the attributes, you bypass the theophany and come straight to the flesh man. He come from the mind of God through the theophany down to become the flesh man, went right back in the form of theophany in that glorified body. But one day your eyes is going to be open and you're going to realize the difference between your gene and his gene was you bypass that theophany in order to be tempted and tested and tried by sin, because God needed somebody on the earth that can say, I know he's a redeemer. I know he's a savior. How do I know it? Because I read it. Because I've had the experience. How do I know he can baptize with the Holy Ghost? Because I've got it. How can he open up the eyes of a blind and Laodicean? Because he opened up my eyes. And every day I live, I testify of the glory of my Father. So the body of Jesus was only the tabernacle of God. Amen. It's where Almighty God himself lived and dwelt in a human being. Amen. When he was baptized in Jordan by John, the Holy Ghost came upon him without measure. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. Now you and I got a measure, a portion. More of us are together. My, it seems like you lift the roof off this place sometimes. Well, I come in here, I don't feel that way when I hear about myself. Brother Jim probably walks through this church from time to time. You feel this same way when you're here, when everybody else is here. Of course not. Why? You don't have a portion. But Jesus, wherever Jesus went and went, he had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. After he received it at the river. Now remember, this was the attribute of God called the fullness of God, which came out of the mind of God, down through Christ, the revealed word, into the human body, tabernacle Jesus. But the Shekinah was still on the throne. And that's why Satan and them demons could walk up there and look on the throne and that light was still there. And he could look down on the earth and see Jesus doing things and he was totally confused. He sees you and your humanity making mistakes and falling short of the glory of God. And the next time he sees you, you're walking where angels fear to try. You're walking up there in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he looks at you and he gets the same feeling of confusion that he had when he looked at Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I hope I confuse him really good. I hope I keep him confused. Now watch this. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Now there have been many false messiahs that raised up, and we know that there's been one named Jesus who raised up just before the anointed one. Named Jesus. So you mean there was a Jesus that raised up before Jesus raised up? There's been churches, brides, churches. But there will come one who will have both mechanics and dynamics. Don't you understand what he's saying? She will be the anointed Christ. A man anointed with the Holy Spirit. He said, now watch, Messiah was the anointed, which means the Christ. A man anointed with the Holy Spirit, fullness of God, was Messiah. God in a man. Man and God become one when God came into a man. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified. Both Lord and Christ. Now this part here couldn't happen till after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Glory. Don't you understand? The name of God revealed progressively in the Lord Jesus shows what God is doing down through the ages. So he's born Jesus. When he receives the Holy Ghost, he becomes Jesus Christ. When he defeats death, hell, and the grave, he becomes the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There's your correct formula for water baptism. God has made him both Lord and Christ. Hang on now. He wasn't already that.
Well, either you Jesus onlys was ashamed to get up and leave or have converted you right here today.
If God can make Jesus the Christ by one divine act, by indwelling that human tabernacle, could not God by one divine act make you no longer a sinner? Make you no longer unregenerate? But that same God, but that same power to come and dwell in your body and make you his chosen, make you his anointed.
And God, by that same power, when he raised him from the dead, made him Lord. Will not that same God by that same power. Place you who sat with him in his throne now to be lords and rulers in the millennium. You're not going to get there by your merits. You're not going to get there by your self-worth. You will get there by the same one who made the heavens and the earth. The same one who made Jesus Christ. And the same one who made Jesus Lord. The same one who made you from an unregenerate lost world. And got a hold of that attribute. And made you Christ. That same one will make you rulers. That's him. Acts chapter 10 verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. This could not be correctly said in Matthew. This cannot be said in Mark or Luke or even the beloved John. This dispensation had to be fulfilled in order. You follow me, friends? Look, when Moses stands there in the presence of God, those names of God, of gracious and mercy and all that, it could not be revealed to Jacob. It could not have been revealed to us. Don't you see why we need the message of this day? It gives to us. It's not to write a new Bible. It's not to take us away from that Bible. I love my Bible now more than I've ever loved it. This message did not come to replace my Bible. As a matter of fact, I fell in love with my Bible all over again. Notice again in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Philo describes God's Logos, His Word, as His image and firstborn son. Philo, the historian. God's Logos, His Word, was His firstborn son. Not one and only son, but firstborn. Somebody hold my microphone while I have a spell. Hallelujah. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Of course, creation means causing to come into existence that which did not exist before. Watch in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the morphe of God. The word form, our English word form is morphe in the Greek. Which means the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. An external appearance. So He was the morphe of God. You believe this? The morphe of God. So Christ, before the foundation of the world, was in the form of God. But in order to condescend to bring God's great divine plan into clear view, He must become in the form of man. So He was in the form of God, then He became in the form of man. Watch Philippians 2:7. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. So now the morphe of God, the Logos of God, comes down and takes on the veil of a human being. And then he condescends even a further step down than humanity and takes on the morphe of a servant. So he can't do what he wants to do. He's got to be what God wants him to be. And if you're the bride, you're the same way. In verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now Moses, up on the mountain of God, as I said, his eighth descent up into the mountain the second time in relevance to the Ten Commandments. When God revealed them the first time, God wrote them on the tablets of stone with his own finger. Moses broke them, and Moses has to go back up into the presence of God. And this time, Moses has to write them. But what's amazing is the glory of God doesn't appear on Moses' face when God writes them, but it appears on his face when he writes them. There's something about humans taking this word right here. So Moses is the mediator of the old covenant, the law, the Torah. And God shares an element of his glory with the mediator, which will stand there in proxy of the presence of God in order to bring the word to the people. So whenever he comes down from the mountain of God, his face is shining white. But he don't know it. Of course, most preachers in this message, if theirs is shining white, they'd be the first one to find it out. And then they'd have a selfie and send it all over to everybody in their contact list. Preach, Brother Donnie. Now what's the parallel of this then? If God is going to do a new covenant with a new mediator. Matthew chapter 17 verse 1. Let's look at Mount Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. So here is the mediator of the new covenant, and his face is shining white like Moses did. And his raiment was white as light, and behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Now, I wonder how Matthew knew who these were. And really, we don't have any other witnesses other than these guys are there. Now, are we sure we believe this? I mean, you know, this is pretty supernatural, and this is pretty far out. To believe that Jesus is standing up there, and all of a sudden his garments become white, he becomes white, and Moses and Elijah, which has been gone for a long, long time, and they appear up there, and we've got a couple, three guys' word for it. After all, we've only got one man's word for the Ten Commandments. It's plastered all over the world, and millions of people believe it and take one man's word for it. Praise the Lord! I'm glad I can believe that one man's word. Then I have no problem believing another man's word that said seven angels appeared to him. Do I understand how it all happened, how it all came about? I don't, but I see the effects in his life. I see the effects it had in my life. I see the effects it's had in your life. Now watch, let's jump back in Exodus 34:29. I may go a few minutes over today. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So now this is actually Moses is coming down on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of Tishrei, which would be equivalent to our September. So God sends down the law on the Day of Atonement. And the law was a judge. It offered no propitiation. If I offer no repentance, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The 11th commandment doesn't say, and thou shalt repent too. And the 12th commandment, and I'll have mercy on you. And the 13th commandment, and I'll be a good God. It was all, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Yeah. And on the day of atonement, look at the word atonement, A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T, at-one-ment. At-one-ment. Atonement. Make them one. So on the day of atonement, here comes Moses down and his face is now shining with the glory of God. The word translated shine is closely connected with a word translated horn. Now this is in the Hebrew. And hence the Latin version and others have rendered the verb to be horned. You ever wonder why Michelangelo's statue of Moses has these things protruding out of his head? Well, it's because of the meaning of this word. So the word shone and the word horned is very, very similar in the Hebrew and the Latin. So whenever Michelangelo reading the Latin Vulgate or the Latin version of the Bible, it would have read horned. So many of the Renaissance artists, when they would draw things of Moses, it would be these horns projecting out of his head. But yet we know that it was that the glory of God had so shined upon him. God wants to identify him as being the messenger of the covenant. The word shine is Quran, which is signifies primarily to, you know, it's to shine, shoot forth, to emit rays of light, irradiate. So Moses, from Moses' face, is irradiating these beams of light. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh unto him. They were scared. They were terrified. And remember, they had good cause to be, because just a few days prior to this, they'd made the golden calf. And 3,000 people have died. Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken unto him on Mount Sinai. Till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Now they had to tell Moses, Moses, you may not realize it, but your face is shining. Really? I don't feel no different. We can't hardly even look at you. Of course, we know in this day, Brother Bram says what happened was that Moses walked into the pillar of fire. Well, God was giving him the word. And when he walked out, he was bearing the resemblance of that pillar of fire. So he walked into that pillar of fire and he became into the attribute of God. Lord, mercy. Then when he walked out of the pillar of fire, he became Moses again. But the after effect was still on him in such a brilliant manner, it hadn't wore off of his flesh. But it's also a symbol, of course, we know. So when he comes out again, they tell him, Moses, hide your face. We can't stand to look upon you. So they would veil Moses' face and he'd say, thus saith the Lord. The Lord said this and the Lord said that. And then he'd bring that word. He'd walk back into it again. But you know what? He didn't need the veil when he was before Father. He didn't need the veil between him and God. He only needed the veil between him and the people. Don't you understand why this message blinds so many people? It's the veil. It's the veil. Why don't it blind you? Because you come from the pillar of fire. Amen. The human veil don't blind you. The human veil don't run you away. Well, when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. Until he came out. And he came out speaking to the children of Israel. That was his command. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. I'll be so glad when we grow up enough that when men of God step out behind this pulpit, they don't have to preach to you what they see and understand behind a veil. Because you fail to pray and fail to read your Bible, and you live in such a carnal world. What a day it's going to be, Happy Valley, when we can move so into the place that men of God can take the veil off what they see and begin to lay it out the way Father has really made it known to them. You'd be so surprised how much I have to water things down, how much I have to change them, how much I have to weaken it down from the way that I study it and the way that I see it. And you know what determines that? You do. It breaks my heart. As a pastor, it breaks my heart knowing the measure and the strength that he let me see and me sitting there in my study under the presence of God. You brothers understand what I'm talking about. And you get that anointing so great you feel like your body's going to be changed. And then when I come here and bring it, it seemed like it might be a tenth of what I saw. A tenth of the way it was revealed to me. And you sit there and yawn and watch your watch and worrying about going to lunch and going to Rome Mountain and this and that and the other. When are we going to realize he ought to be the principal theme of our life? The principal theme of Sunday should not be going boating or going fishing. It should be going to church, going to the house of God, and sitting in the unveiled presence of Christ the Word. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you understand, friends, where many Christians are? They're at the Jesus state of their walk. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. I'm saved. I'm no longer what I was in the world. They're at the Jesus state of their walk. Are they different? Sure. Did God do something for them? Sure. But many of them never move into Christos. They never become the anointed Messiah of this day. Hallelujah. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be Christ. Don't set me as your image. Don't set me as your goal. Why would you want to be like me when you could be like Jesus? Amen. Why would you want to be like some preacher in this message? You set that as to be your goal. Oh, if I could be like Brother Donnie. If I could be like Brother so-and-so. Why would you want to set your goal so low? God wants you to be the anointed Messiah of this day. We don't become that by choice. Well, I want to be. So therefore, I'm going to be. I'm going to speak myself into it. Jesus didn't speak himself into it. God anointed him. And God will anoint those on the face of the earth today. And he will anoint whom he chooses. You can pray and fast till you die and we bury you. If God never chose you to be that, you'll never be it. I don't care how many television preachers want to be it. No matter how many radio preachers and all that, they'll never become it. God chooses who's Christ. Then he will make them not just Jesus, but Jesus Christos. I don't want to just be a saved man, a Christian man. I want to be a part of the Messiah. Not a false anointed one. A true anointed one. I don't just have signs and wonders who follow me, and I do, because I'm a believer. But the living Word is in me. Hang on. I have the power to impart life through the words that I speak. You do too? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Oh, mighty God, you are awesome in this place. Lord, Lord God, you're gracious, merciful, tender, kind. Pass through our midst today. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. And you walk from the front to the back to the nurseries, to the sound booth, out on the internet, wherever folks are streaming the service or archive it. May you go to them, Lord. May we come from the state of being Jesus, in type, I mean, as he was when he walked upon this earth for 30 years. He was Jesus for 30 years. He couldn't become Christ the eighth day when he was circumcised. He couldn't become Christ whenever he chose, or at the age of 12, when he astounded the doctors and lawyers. He had to become Christ at the river, because you anointed him. Lord Jesus, if there's people here today who have not become that, not anointed to do signs and wonders and speak in tongues, but to be the Messiah, the anointed one. Hallelujah. May your presence pass through us today. May your Shekinah. Maybe we couldn't handle it visibly. I know the few times I've seen your reflected glory, it's left me paralyzed and not even able to speak. The time I've seen angels of God, Lord, it's left me for days to come back to myself. So, Lord, I'm not sure I'm called to see many such things. But may you pass this way today. And if we can't handle it visibly, may we just sense and know that it's you that's walking among us, Lord. Maybe there's other people who are designed to take such things, but Father, you know us. And we just ask that you in your infinite ways will reveal yourself to us finite beings in the measure of the capacity that we can handle it, Lord. I don't want to be like anybody else anyway. I just want to be what you want me to be. I don't want my experience to match any other preacher. I want my experiences. Brother Ben tells us even our experiences are ordained. So I want only my allotment. That's all I want. But I do want to know you, Lord, in a more real way. I've seen you heal the sick and raise the dead. I've seen you straighten out cross eyes and heal cancer. And I've seen you do all kinds of things like that. And I love that when you do it. But I want to know you. You. Your person. Your character. I know as I understand more of the dispensation of the word, I'm understanding the revealing of your character. Open my understanding, Lord God. Pass this way today, Lord. O Rock of Ages, thank you for hiding us in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. When you passed by Moses that day and you put your hand, apparently your hand of the theophany preceded the visible appearance. You stuck your hand out as we would. You stuck your hand out in front of you. You covered apparently the portion of the cleft of the rock where Moses' head was. And you covered his face or his eyes or near where his eyes would have been. And then you walked by in all your splendor and all your glory. And while your body was moving, your hand was still on the crevice of the rock. And then once your back parts had moved up far enough distance to where it wouldn't kill him, you removed your hand. And you saw the back of a man. And the prophet says it was a theophany. Then he tells us later, that man became flesh and they beat that back. Of course, you know the body of Jesus was not the theophany, but the theophany was in Jesus. How he must have felt that day when you passed by. He was never the same. Lord Jesus, may you come by here today. May we never be the same after today either, Lord. Help us to find the balance in our life. We have to work. We have to live. We have our families. We have hobbies. We have things that we do. All this sort of thing. Help us in all that we do to make you the principal theme of our lives. Adonai. Adonai. Yehovah. Elohim, El, Elyon, all of these great names wrapped up in the human redemptive name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord God. O doves of God, may we lift our little wings as it was in the presence of the King. As I rehearsed to you what we looked at last night, O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock. Hallelujah. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. Won't you just open your heart? You believe what you want. I believe this very day the Lord God has opened a portion of his heart to us. When he does that to me, it makes me want to open up my heart back to him for love and praise. Don't give him your mind, your heart, the seat of your emotions, what you are. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. We sit, Lord, on the cleft of the rock. The stairs of access. We have ascended. We've climbed from justification to sanctification, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're sitting here, Lord, at the eye age, waiting for the final capstone of the intelligence. Then we will take our flight. For the doves of God from around this world will gather together. Lord, as I read this week where Russia said they could conquer Europe and take every major city within 2 days' time. I quoted again last night. 8 more of their planes just this week were seen off the coast of Alaska. The bear is raising itself to its strength. Then, Lord Jesus, may we ascend. May we climb. Hallelujah. We're fixing to change nests. We're going to leave this nest of time. Go back into the cradle of eternity of it, as it was where our civilization truly began. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship together now, saints. Let's just worship just a few minutes before you go. I know you got your lunch, and those of you who are traveling today and all, but you know what? This might be your last service you'll ever be in. Don't you want to give it your very best that you have? Oh, my. Amen. We love you, Lord.
Reach out.
Hallelujah.
And touch the Lord.
Lord Jesus.
As he goes by.
Don't you know he's here right now?
You'll find he's not too busy.
Healing.
To hear
courage.
Your heart's cry.
Oh.
He's passing by this moment. Your needs he will supply.
Yes,
if you reach out and touch the Lord.
Amen.
As he goes by.
Oh, reach out
and touch the Lord
as he goes by. You'll find
and touch the Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
And touch the Lord as He goes by.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many has a real special need in your life today? Would you raise your hand? Won't you, believer, sinner, looking around you? Won't you lay your hands on one another if you would? There's hundreds of you. There's no way I could pray for all of you. Believers by believers. It's not just preachers to pray, but believers. I'm going to offer one mass prayer for you. I want you praying for each other. Lord Jesus, you saw these hands, Lord, that were uplifted you, and you alone know what lays beneath that hand. Lord, maybe some with suicidal thoughts, some with thoughts of leaving their husband or wife, some at the end of the road. Maybe they come here today thinking this is their last service. Ain't going back no more. They're just so discouraged. Lord, I don't know. But I just pray the Spirit of God would pass this way today, Lord. I believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Jesus. May you come among us now, Lord. We sense you're here. We sense your divine presence is here, Lord. May you just move, Lord God, among the needs of your children. Father, we know our enemy is constantly there to war against us. We believe the Bible says when the enemy will come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Lord Jesus, I pray for healing, for deliverance, for joy, for peace, whatever it is, Lord, that you need. May the power of God move. Lord Jesus, may what we've heard today empower us. They may leave here today and think, my goodness, what does all that mean to me? But help them to understand, knowing who you are and who they are empowers them to be a greater soldier. Lord Jesus, may these words that we've heard today, may we realize it will empower us to be a better people. If it only gives us knowledge and I fail, Lord. But dear God, may we understand that when something is opened up like this, it opens up your divine nature. It's not your wisdom, not your understanding. Grant it, Lord. Strengthen them, I pray, Father. Oh, we worship you today, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You became us, Lord, that we might become you. Thank you, Lord. You took my place as a sinner that I might become a son of God. You went to hell so I'll never have to. Glory to God. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Oh, it means so much to us, Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing One Night with the King before we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, don't you love him? With all your hearts. One night with the King changes everything. One day in His glory did forever change my one night with the King changes everything. Everybody, let's sing it together now. Glory! Oh, one night with the King changes everything. You remember your night or your day? One day in His Now let's do the verse together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, from the desert to the king, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw his face, his love captured me. One night with the King, always changes everything. Lord God, one day in His court, it forever changed my God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God as we can sing it. Oh, one night with the King changes everything. Oh, I love you, Lord. Just one day in His courts did forever change my course. Night with the King changes every scene. Let's do the verse again, Aaron. Hallelujah. Oh, from the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. One night with the King, glory changes everything. Just one day, it forever changed my course. One moment in His presence, I've never been the same. One night changes everything. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. Oh, one night.